Good morning. Has it been a good morning so far? Thank you. So good to be in church today, to see all of your faces. I hope you had a good week back at school. I know many of you are getting in the school grind. We actually made it this week. Avery missed the first 2 days because of strep, and I found out when it's a new school year that if you miss the first two, you don't really miss them because it's when you start that you begin, and so we have perfect attendance. Yay. And I'm excited about that. I will tell you, it was really surreal. We walked them in the first 2 days, and those of you who have kids, I mean, there's some anxiety, you know. There's big kids there, and they look like gigantors. And I got my little buddy, and he's as big as his book bag. And I just remember this week, he was going to go in by himself, and he got out of the truck, and he's walking, and I'm like, wow, my little man is getting big. He's on his own. He can start paying rent in kindergarten. I'm kidding. Well, I'm excited to be here. We're in the second part of a series I'm calling Shift. And if you weren't here last week, I'll just want to kind of recap you. We're looking at a shift that God can make in our life. And like Casey talked about, there's perspectives that God wants to shift. And I'll talk about some of those today. But last week, I talked about that the Christian life is not instant. It's not a vending machine. And I talked about different vending machines. They have the iPod vending machine. You can go get an iPod or Dr. Dre Beats if you want to listen to them out of a vending machine. That is crazy. Hundreds of dollars in a vending machine. But the Christian life is not instant. God is not a God of vending machines where you just press a code and he gives you what you want. That would be nice. But what we did talk about was that the Christian life is about being a disciple. And I sort of defined this. We said that it says we are people who spend our lives apprenticed to our master. And that's one of the things I want you to think about. If you are here today and you call yourself a Christian, we are all apprentices to Jesus. And what that means is we're going to get skills and trades just like Jesus had, and he's going to give us those spiritually. Secondly, we looked at that we're on a pilgrimage. And we define that as it tells us we are people who spend our lives going someplace, going to God, and whose path for getting there is the way Jesus Christ. And so today I kind of want to start with what happens when you're on the way, when you're on that path, you have accepted Christ into your life, you've been a Christian, and then something goes wrong. I don't know about you, but I've had certain situations in my life that I'm just like, God, how can you let that happen? I mean, you know, I'm on staff at a church. I'm the pastor. Surely I should get a pass on having to deal with any difficult things in life. Shouldn't that be? Don't you pray that, right? Don't let Jeremy go through anything bad because he's the pastor. He's special. He's privileged. It's not like that. And I don't know what you were told, but when I was told that the Christian life, the gospel was the good news, I thought I was going to be getting good news all the time. But guess what? There are times in life when life doesn't give us good news. Sometimes in life, we get news that we really didn't really want. I was thinking about what happens in life when you're on this pilgrimage and you just lose all sense of direction. You know, your GPS just is not computing where you are, and you just don't know where to turn. I remember being in college, and I remember just having circumstance after circumstance in my life that didn't get me to where I wanted to be in ministry. And finally, one day, I just said, God, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm tired of doing it your way. And I just walked away from the church altogether. For a season in my life, I didn't go to church. I didn't read my Bible, and I didn't pray because I had given up that God had a plan for me, that God had something in store for me. And when I look back on that today, when I look back on that 15 years later, it wasn't just one event that pushed me away. It was a number of circumstances that I had allowed to distort my view of God, because the reality is I thought God was up there and that he had like the master switchboard of life and that he was causing all these things to happen. And what happened is I didn't realize that God was there with me. Just like in the song, God is always with you. And I'm here to tell you today that there was a season in my life where I totally bought the lie that God wasn't with me. And in that season, I walked away, and it was a very lonely time in my life. I did some things that I regret. I walked down some paths that I couldn't really get out of at the time. And I just remember thinking, what is life about? And maybe you're here today and you were a Christian or you were a churchgoer and you sort of gave up on God at some point, and now you're back in here and you're wondering, what does it mean to be a parent and have a relationship with God? And what does it mean to just know God? And I feel like in our world today, not just here at Edgepoint Church, but around the nation, there are churches filled with people who are still asking, God, what is the point? What is the purpose? Why do you have me here? And I just want to help you today to sort of shift that perspective that God is here. And he speaks to us in so many ways, and I want to help us with that today. One of the things I realize is there are certain events that just are difficult to get over. If you have ever had someone in your family that is sick, and we have people in our church. I know Misty and I talk regularly. When she told the story the first time of when she found out Brody had leukemia, and they were in the hospital, I mean, it just tore my heart out. There are times in life where you lose someone too close in life. And those events can happen, and they can sort of shift you feeling God there. Your circumstances are so overwhelming. You may have had a relationship that you were in, and you're no longer in that relationship, and you're wondering, where is God in this? Today, I want to help us as we look at a passage of Scripture today to sort of see what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be on this pilgrimage, because I was wrestling with this week, y'all. I'm wrestling with the fact that I see so many people who say yes to be a disciple, who get on the pilgrimage, and then one day they're just absent from church. And maybe you're here today and you were one of those people. I was one. And I don't remember the church coming after me, but I do remember God coming after me time and time again, and finally I couldn't ignore his voice. And today, as we look at this, I wonder where you are, because in my time of need, I sort of need something more than just somebody quoting a scripture at me. You see, if you're here today and you're not really in the church world and you haven't been a churchgoer, I want to tell you, sometimes we're not really good to each other because we do really dumb things. Like when you're having a problem, we quote a scripture. God will never give you more than you can. What? Really? I mean, really? I just told you the worst story ever that's happening to me, and you're going to drop a Bible verse on me like a Band-Aid? And I'm thinking about this, and I just want to apologize, because often in life, we as Christians can just use Scripture, take a little verse, and just throw it at you. It's so much more than that. I will tell you, one of the most misused verses in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I have plans for you to prosper, not to destroy you. I'm hacking the verse, but I'll tell you, it's about a nation, not just one person in your individual life with your job that day. And so you have to look at it. And today, I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture that has been totally misused many times. And I want to help us, because here's the deal. It's not whether I'm using this Scripture the correct way. It's that often God has things to say in our circumstances. And if we're not careful, we may be reading a Bible verse one day, and it may shift you further away from God than towards God. And when I read this verse in a second, I think you'll understand. I'm in James chapter 1, and that's in the back of the Bible. And I want to tell you, supposedly James is Jesus' brother. Now, I don't know about you, but like if I had a sibling, you know, Jesus is your brother. I mean, that's kind of tough, wouldn't you think? Son of God. Okay, you guys are asleep. All right. James 1, from James, a slave, that means servant of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered outside the land of Israel, greetings. My brothers and sisters, think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. All right, James, I get that you and Jesus are brothers, and you think you can preach really tough things, but I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a trial or a test, I'm not joyful. Anybody joyful? You know, hey, I just failed a test. Teenagers, you're like, yeah, I'm joyful. You know, I mean, it doesn't work that way. But he goes on to say, after all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, let me say something about endurance. I told y'all the other day, my neighbor runs marathons. I still have not begun to run I've got my plan. I have great intentions to do it. I don't want endurance. I just want to be able to run. But what happens is it produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may fully mature, complete, lacking nothing. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Whoever asks shouldn't hesitate. They should ask in faith without doubting. Whoever doubts is like the surf of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. People like that should never imagine that they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded, unstable in their ways. I want to just help us a minute, because I think sometimes it's easy to look at a passage of Scripture and for me just to get up here and say, you know, you're going to go through hard times in your Christian life. Be joyful. I mean, does that help you today? Because I don't really even live that out, and I'm the preacher, and I'm preaching this. And so I want to help us, because the problem with this text is we sort of look at it as you instead of us. You see, when James is preaching or writing this letter to the people, it's a group of Jewish converts who have been exiled from Jerusalem, and what that means is they're outside of their home region, and they're together, and they're being persecuted, and they're wondering, what did we sign up for? I mean, what's going on here, James? I mean, we're following the way, but have you seen lately what's happening to some of our people? I mean, have you seen nobody really recognizes us anymore? And if you're here today and you've ever lived the Christian life a little bit of time here in America, we really don't get persecuted. And so when you look at this verse, it's not like they're having a bad day. They got a flat tire. They lost their job. You know, they need the economy to increase. This is a nation that literally a group of people are rejecting the early Christians. And James is just saying, look, y'all, hang on for a moment. My brothers and sisters, think of various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. After all, you know that these tests, the testing endures your faith, that you build perseverance. And what I want to look at today is this. There was a group of them that were going to hold on to their faith, and they were going to believe, and then there's a big but. I like the buts in the Bible. But if you need help, ask God for wisdom, who gives graciously. The shift that I want to help us with today is knowing and understanding God in the midst of when the depths of life rise, when the water rises. How do you know? You see, in this chapter, and I'm going to get real nerdy for a second, in the first 27 verses, knowing and understanding is used 17 times. So what James is saying is your joy is going to come because when you seek God, he's going to help you know and understand what you're supposed to do. When you get the news that you've lost your job or that you're going to be changing someplace in your life, James is like, have joy because you can go to the Father who will give you knowledge and understanding. But what happens in our world today is often the Bible in these verses haven't really gotten into our heart. Like Casey was talking about earlier, when you're in a situation in life and you have gotten in the Word, sometimes God will draw that understanding of what you read before, how a sermon you heard, and it's going to help you know what to do. And what I feel like in our world today is we can come to worship services. We can check that off the box, but if we don't have an understanding that God wants to be in our everyday life, and he wants to be there in all moments to give us knowledge and understanding so that we'll know that when we have a trial in life, when we have a test in life, that God is there always. And one of the things I've had to realize is that I'm a very forgetful person. I don't know about you, but I tend to forget more things than not. But the one thing I don't want to forget is that no matter what happens in this life, that God has a plan and a purpose for me, and he doesn't want me just to get to the place where I say yes to Jesus. He wants me to follow Jesus. And as we look at this today, I want to help us with this shift. You see, the first shift is realizing that God's with you no matter what. that even in your heart, when you feel God is silent, God is with you. What would happen in our lives if when we faced situations in life that we felt were testing us, maybe testing our character, maybe testing our perseverance through a situation, maybe your marriage is being tested, maybe it's school started and your kid is struggling, you're being tested in ways, God is with us. But are we recognizing that God is with us? One of the things I've realized in the church today, and this is something Casey brought up earlier, and I didn't coin this phrase, but I love it. Church is done better in circles than rows. One of the reasons that small groups is not a fad, okay? Small groups have been around for hundreds of years. It's a term we use in the church. It's getting a group of people together, sitting in a circle, in a home, with God in the center, doing life together. You see, maybe not today, or tomorrow, or the next month, but at some point, you're going to need a group of people to be around you and pray for you and support you and love you. And what happens is often in the church is someone will come in, and maybe you're here today and you just have just kind of been a spectator, and then life hits and no one from the church calls you. I don't call you because I don't know what's going on, and nobody came to your aid because nobody knows. That's the thing about church is it's not just this 1 hour we have a week. It's so much more. It's when life is happening 6 other days a week. Do you have people who have your back? And that's one of the things that we want to help create here is to help you in relationships with others. As we look at that, I was thinking about knowing and understanding, increasing our faith. One of the things I can tell you is that the more trials I go through in life, the more dependent I am on God. That the more situations, the quicker they come, the more I am to say, God, I don't get this, I don't understand it, but I know that you are in this. What would your life look like if next time you had something going on in your life or your child's life, if you were able to look at maybe your little one and say, God is in this. Ask God for knowledge and understanding. You know, we're too big on the instant. We want to Google it. I thought I had strep this week. I was Googling all the symptoms. My wife said, go to the doctor. They know what to do. I didn't go. I took an allergy pill, and then that worked. When you try all these remedies in the world, you're not really diagnosing the issue. When you come to God, God comes to you freely. And that's one of the things I want us to realize as we shift. As I land this, I want to help us just with a few things, because I think sometimes we think just because we've gone to church, we prayed, we've done the Christian thing, that life's just going to go smoothly. And I want to just tell you that understanding is not just when bad things happen. Understanding is about where you are today. We have a new school year. Our church is growing numerically. We're growing because God is doing something. Are you growing spiritually? Is there a shift that maybe God wants to do in your life spiritually where God is gonna help you rise to the next step in your faith? That may be joining a group. It may be being a volunteer here on the setup team or working with e-kids or hosting a Bible study. We have a number of opportunities. And here's what I'll tell you. When you go from sitting in a seat to engaging community, when you go from sitting in a seat to just singing songs to hearing a sermon to joining a small group and volunteering, God is going to shift how you see him. And when that next event comes in your life, that hiccup, that bad moment, that bad news you get, your perspective is going to change because you're going to be right in the middle of what God is doing. I see all too often in the church world that people are lacking perception and knowledge, not because it's not been offered, but because life is busy. And so here's what I want to land this with today. What thing in your schedule, in your weekly routine, do you need to shift so that you can make time for God to get some knowledge and understanding? What would just happen if this group of people in this room shifted some part of your week where you just said, God, this is your time, this is your place, I want knowledge and understanding. I get that you're doing amazing things. What would happen to our community if we shifted this time and God began to instill in you knowledge and wisdom? You see, I'll tell you how this works. About a month ago, I asked Travis, and I'm picking on him today. I asked him to go to dinner, and I said, man, you're into missions. We need a missions person at church, and we're eating chips and dip and talking. And so we had our meeting yesterday because I missed the other one because I wouldn't go to the doctor. And so we met yesterday, and he shows up with this book, like this notebook with a table of contents and all these mission things. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, dude, you did this. I didn't even have a vision for that. And I'm like, man, I'm so glad that I'm not the only person in the church who's asking for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And what's going to happen with this is these projects that he's found, you're going to get to go into the community and you're going to get to help people. Now, if he can sit at a meal with me and have some chips and dip, imagine what happens when you sit with God and ask him what he wants for your family, what he wants for you in this season of your life. What shift is God leading you to make so that you can get knowledge and understanding? Because let me tell you this. The next time you hear this verse read and someone says, have joy. Have what? Joy. In your time of trials, you're probably going to have some joy because you're going to have a little bit more wisdom and a little bit more understanding than you did the last time you had a trial, because the more you engage with God, the more you feel his wisdom and knowledge. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to open your word. God, so often we don't have joy in situations. God, we don't even have joy in our everyday life because sometimes we're just in seasons where each day is just another trial, another test, another thing's going wrong, and we're wondering, where are you in this? God, I pray that as we sing the words of this song, Our Great God, that we would realize we have an amazing God, that you haven't forsaken us, God, that no matter what circumstance or event we're going to face this week, that you are with us. God, you're not only with us, you want to see us succeed. You want to see our situation transform because, Lord, you get the joy in watching us as your people grow. God, I pray for the person right now who just needs a little hope in their life. They want to walk out of here and see you do something different in their life. Lord, for the person right now who knows in their mind, they can see what needs to shift. They can see what area of their life needs to shift so that they can get knowledge and wisdom for you. God, help us to not stay still, but to shift in a way that our view and our perspective of you would be transformed. God, I pray as we sing this song that you would just minister to our hearts today. Lord, help us just to seek all of you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.